It was the night before his death, and Jesus desired to spend his last hours on earth with his disciples. So he told Peter and John to make preparations for them to eat the Passover. "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. "Go to the city," he replied, "and as you enter, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'My appointed time is near. Where is the room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." Knowing that Judas was waiting for an opportunity to betray him, Jesus did not name the street or the owner of the house. Peter and John left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. The evening meal of a lamb roasted whole, eaten with bitter herbs and unleavened bread, marked the beginning of the 7-day festival. The Passover lamb, a male without blemish, was slaughtered in the afternoon sometime before sunset, and when night fell, it was eaten by the whole family. That same evening, Jesus and his disciples went to the upper room to eat the meal that Peter and John had prepared for them. Then a dispute arose among the disciples as to which of them was considered to be greatest. Perhaps they disagreed over the question of priority and the places of honor at table. Now Jesus had just announced that very soon he would be crucified. So he spoke to them and said that they were not to be like the princes of this world. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the leader like the servant. For who is greater, the one who is at table, or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me. You will eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father, and that God had put all things into his hands. Knowing that he had come from God and was going back to him, he now showed how much he loved his own who were in the world. He got up from the table, took off his outer garment, and wrapped a towel round his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not know now what I am doing, but you will know later." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. The symbolic and very meaningful act of washing the disciples' feet, which was the work of a slave, revealed the Lord's deep humility, and showed that without the spiritual cleansing that he alone can give, no share in the divine life is possible. When he had finished washing their feet, Jesus put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me Master and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example, that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." In this way, Jesus told his own that they must be ready to serve each other, even in very humble matters, with a devoted and loving spirit. Next episode, the Lord's Supper.